Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, September is Fall Prevention Month, and good time to have Betsy Abramson back with us. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging, and we'll talk with her about reducing your risk of falling or your loved one's risk of falling. And we'll be taking your questions and comments as we move along. So what have you done to avoid falls? What would you like to know about the Institute for Healthy Aging? Give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And certainly love to hear from you. And Betsy Abramson, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. Always nice to be here.
Well, listen, falls are a big problem for people as they age, and it's pretty dangerous for them, is it not? Why are they so dangerous?
Absolutely, it is common. And one thing I want to make sure your listeners understand, Larry, is that while falls are super common amongst older adults, it's not normal and it's not inevitable, and they can be prevented. And that's why we're looking forward to sharing this info with your listeners. So why are they more common with older adults? As you indicated, older adults tend to have a little less mobility. Their muscle strength and their balance is has diminished a little bit as they get older. Vision and hearing, which are two things that are common and normal as we age, those declines in vision and hearing will certainly contribute to your risk of falls. And all those medications that older people are constantly being prescribed can create quite the witch's brew in that cauldron and will increase your chance of falls too. So those are all different things that contribute to our risk of falls.
You know, I think last time we talked, Wisconsin, you said Wisconsin had more falls than most states. Is that still the case?
Oh, I'm sorry to say it is, Larry. We think that might be in part because we have better reporting, but we have the greatest number of deaths from falls-related injuries than any other state in the country. And indeed, deaths from falls-related injuries are the leading cause of deaths from injuries in Wisconsin too. Like, in other words, more people die from injuries from falls than they do from injuries from car accidents. So we need to get a handle on falls here in Wisconsin and across the country. Every 11 seconds somewhere in the United States, an older adult is being seen in an emergency for a fall. And 40% of all traumatic brain injuries in the United States are from falls in older adults. So it's a huge problem.
Yeah. So why do you think Wisconsin is so far ahead of so many other states?
We think it, like, number one, as I said, I think it is because we're better at reporting. Not as good as preventing, but really good at reporting. It's not the winter. I know a lot of people think that, but if that was true, then North Dakota and Minnesota and Michigan, you know, would have bad rates too. Some folks think it may be that we have higher rates of obesity and that pesky alcohol problem that we have in Wisconsin. So that may be contributing to it as well. But like I said, the good news is it is that falls are preventable, and we have a lot of strategies to share with folks to make that in. And that's why even the governor of Wisconsin has proclaimed September as Falls Prevention Awareness Month. And we're partnering with a lot of different organizations to get the word out about what individuals and their families and communities can do to prevent falls in September and all year round.
You know, I was thinking about deaths from falls, and I was remembering a friend's grandmother who had a fall. Now she broke her hip. And breaking her hip she just went downhill. Really fast. So it wasn't the fall itself, you know, cracking her head or something and killing her instantly. It was the sort of down slide that she took after that. Is that?
Yeah, that's common, Larry. That's Yeah, same thing happened to my mother-in-law, actually. And, you know, one really bad thing about falls is it increases your fear of falling. And so folks tend to limit their time up and moving around, which, of course, only increases your risk of falls because you haven't been doing that. And then, you know, the climb upward to go through all that rehab and physical therapy, which is great and wonderful in Wisconsin. But it often is, as you indicated with your friend's grandmother, the beginning of the end. And about 50% of people who fall have died within a year of that fall, either from the injuries from the fall or kind of giving up that will to live, as we call it, yeah. As we call in medicine, failure to thrive. So it gets bad.
And the medications, you mentioned the medications, you know, people are on mm-hmm. these medications. And we, as you say, we take more as we age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
how do we make sure they're... I was just going to say, how can we make sure these medications don't make us more susceptible to falling?
Well, it's really one of the six most important things to do to prevent a fall is to talk to a pharmacist, your pharmacist or your doctor, about your medications to see if the medication that you've been on for 13 years or 23 years or 1 year is still one you need to take. Is there another medication that can address the same problem but doesn't have the falls risk increasing phenomena in it? Should you take it at a different time of day? Should you take it with food, without food? So there's lots of things, and talking to a pharmacist for a thorough medication therapy review is a really wise strategy because, as you mentioned, older people, average older person, it takes about 7 medications, and that's pretty much a guarantee that you've increased your risk of falls.
You know, along with that, Helene from Madison is on board. Let's go to Helene next. Thank you for calling.
Great. Hi. Good morning, Larry and Betsy. Thank you for patching me in. The point that Betsy made just a few minutes ago is really an important piece, is that medications can be related to falls. You know, you take a certain number of medications or you take a certain type of medications, you can have drug side effects or what we call in the business adverse drug events, which lead to falls. You know, you take something and it causes you dizziness and then you fall. One way that pharmacists can help with that, and they really play a very key role in the not only the management of medications, but also the management of the care for their patients and their chronic diseases, is they can do a medication checkup or a comprehensive medication review. And what this entails is the pharmacist working with the patient to go through each of the medicine, making sure the patient understands why they take the medicine, you know, what potential side effects to expect, how to reduce that risk for falls. And the thing that's very important, and sometimes people don't think about it, is that pharmacist really works very closely with the primary care team to help that patient in the management of their medication, in the management of their chronic conditions, all in the hopes of reducing those side effects and reducing falls by extension. So they really are a great partner with the primary care team. You know, one of the things we always talk about with patients when the Pharmacy Society is working in the community with agencies and people are, you know, talk to your doctor. Always make sure to talk to your doctor and pharmacist whenever you're adding any kind of medication, even if it's not a prescribed medication, if it's an over-the-counter or some kind of supplement. You know, we think, oh, it's just a vitamin or it's just a fish oil, but that can interact with your medication, your prescription medication, and can cause you problems that could result in a fall for you. So always connect with your doctor or pharmacist to just have a better handle on those things that you're taking. And then just one more thing, Larry. The other thing that we would recommend is if you are interested in getting that medication checkup or a comprehensive medication review, is to ask your pharmacist. Do they do those? And if they don't, then what we would recommend is to call the United Way's 211 line or look at our website, which is csWI.org/WPQC. And on there, we have a list. The Pharmacy Society has a list of pharmacists that do provide those medication checkups for families to help them all reduce their fall risk.
Well, thank you very much for calling. And Betsy, I don't think you're going to find anything to argue with Helene about in that.
No. Helene McDowell, who just called in, is an expert on this. She's with the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, and we're actually partnering with PSW this year and offering the pharmacies in Wisconsin. We've together taken the falls risk self-assessment, falls-free falls risk self-assessment that's put out by the National Council on Aging, and you can get that assessment hopefully through your pharmacist. You can get it on the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging website on our falls prevention page, which I know your producer has popped up onto to your homepage too.
Yeah.
And as Helene mentioned, once you take that assessment and you see that you are at risk for falls, it's a good time to talk to your pharmacist or doctor because about the medications, because as she indicated, a whole lot of interaction going on that you may not be aware of that can increase your risk of falls. And pharmacists are obviously a key professional in the falls prevention army we've got going here.
Yeah, so and yes,
so
we
yeah,
did.
No, nothing to argue with.
And Jill did post a link on our program notes at WPR.org/Larry. So if you want to go there, you can get a link right away to it. What are some questions that are on there that we may not have just discussed yet? What are some of the types of questions in terms of risk assessment?
Well, it'll ask you things about your vision and your hearing and whether you've fallen in the past year or not, because one, people who fall once are more likely. They ask whether you use a cane or a walker or you've ever been advised to do one, because people who do means that they are obviously not that steady and that they have an increased risk. People who hold on to furniture, they ask if you hold on to furniture as you walk, again, showing you that you have poor balance. If you're worried about falling, you're more likely to fall. If you don't have the strength to, when you stand up, can you stand up on your own or do you use your hands to push yourself up to stand up from a chair? Do you have trouble stepping up and onto a curb? Do you rush to the bathroom when you need to go? That's a sign of one problem, and it also is going to contribute to your risk of falling. Do you have numbness in your feet? A lot of people with, for example, diabetes have neuropathy in their feet, and that will increase their risk of falls. Or if you ever feel lightheaded from taking medicine, medicine that says right on there, don't operate heavy machinery or drive. It should also say don't walk, because that is anyone who, and if you've ever been advised or if on your own you're taking sleep medications or any anti-anxiety or anti-depression medications, not telling you to stop taking those, but I'm saying that that's a signal that you should have those reviewed. Because that does contribute to your risk of falls. So all of those are examples of that. And anyone who scores 4 or higher on that set of 12 questions is at greater risk of falls. So we encourage everybody, you can answer yes or no on all those very simple little online quiz, or you can get a hard copy of it, hopefully at your County Aging and Disability Resource Center, or maybe through your pharmacy, and take it with pencil and paper. And once you see that you're at risk, it's time to start thinking about having your vision checked and your hearing checked and talking to your doctor and talking to your family. And one area we haven't gotten into at all yet, Larry, is about home safety and home modifications. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of people think there's a lot of fallers in Wisconsin because of ice and snow, but in fact, most falls happen in your own home. And that's generally due to either poor lighting, having too much clutter around, or not having easy access to the things you need the most. That platter you use the most, or the light bulbs or the toolbox you use, shouldn't be on a shelf that's up high that you're standing on a wiggly chair to get. It should all be at, eye level or, waist level that you can reach out and get. So we have all on our website, the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Great thing to do while we're all stuck in the house with COVID. download this little list of home modification and home checkup and walk around your house and look at the hallways and your entrance and your kitchen and your bathroom and identify all the things that might be contributing to your risk of falls and take the matter into your own hands and make those changes so that you can live falls free.
Betsy Abramson, our guest today, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging, as we talk with her about fall prevention. Yeah, this is Fall Prevention Awareness Month, so good time to have her with us. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at how we can prevent falls. And Betsy Abramson, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller, by the way. Betsy is the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Questions or comments, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Give a call or shoot us an email. Juliet in Oshkosh, we'll give you a chance now. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry. This is Juliet Sturkins. I am with the Hearing Loss Association of America. And Betsy already touched on hearing loss. And I think your listeners should really be aware that even having a mild hearing loss really increases your risk of falls. And it's easy to understand, right? I mean, if you don't hear well, you may not hear the dog behind you, or you may not have heard something fall in the kitchen. You turn around, you trip over it. So it's just yet another thing that, of course, as we age, our hearing loss increases to nearly one out of every three people over the age of 65. So it's maybe a good thing to also put getting your hearing tested in that basket, shall we say, of fall prevention.
Yeah, thank you for calling. And Betsy, once again, I doubt you're going to disagree with her on that.
No, not at all. Juliet and the Hearing Loss Association of America are a terrific resource in Wisconsin. And then as Juliet points out, people who have either a hearing loss or a vision loss have a three times greater risk of falling than people who don't. So folks who think, oh, well, I don't need a hearing aid or I don't need to have it treated because what the heck, I don't need to hear all the noise that's out there anyway. No, they're really risking their chance of falls. And in addition, as Juliet said, because of not hearing cues in the world that let you know there's a falls risk. Also, the brain, when you have a hearing loss, the brain is working so hard to work on hearing that it's really on cognitive overload and can't work as much on balance as well. So it's real important to have a hearing test done, to have a baseline done so that you then know whether your hearing has decreased. And if it does, to get a hearing aid and use it and wear it, not keep it on the counter to annoy your spouse, but to actually put it in and use it. So I appreciate Juliet calling. And, she reminds me, Larry, that with this being Falls Prevention Awareness Month, in addition to us having partners like the Hearing Loss Association and the Pharmacy Society, the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging has partnered with AARP Wisconsin this year. And if you look on AARP's YouTube channel or their Facebook page or our agency's face page, we have we're doing 30 ways in 30 days of different tips and strategies for reducing falls. And with AARP, they have generously helped us put together 8 videos about falls prevention. They're all under 10 minutes, and Juliet is actually one herself, and we have a pharmacist and a vision specialist and a hearing specialist and a home modification specialist, community mobility specialist. All the different domains in falls prevention will be dropping those throughout the month of September for folks to watch at their leisure, and they'll also be on the WEHA's homepage, WEHA's falls prevention page too. So lots of resources out there for people to understand the different strategies they can pursue to reduce their risk of falls.
Hmm. Let's take another call, Carrie in Milwaukee. It's your turn. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Larry and Betsy. Thanks for taking my call. I just find this very kind of spiritual and ironic that I turned on the radio and you were talking about falls. 10 years ago today, my husband at 51 years old fell down the steps, broke his neck, and passed.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Boy.
So it's just like, you know, whenever anybody asks me, you know, at such a young age, did he have cancer, you know, and I'm just, no, he fell down. He actually hit his head. It was an old farmhouse with very, very short steps, very deep short steps. And yeah, but and since then, I can't tell you the number of people that have told me who passed from falling. So yeah, it's just a matter of really, you know, watching each step you take. I just retired, and I swear, I walk more consciously now than ever.
Well, good for you. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your loss. That is so tragic. And yeah, you mentioned stairs in there, Carrie, and that's an example, you know, stairs that are not well lit, don't have a good handrail, have the pitch too high to them, whatever, you know, the steepness in them. So, and are all really critical factors. And like you said, you're a member of a club you didn't want to join and has so many members. Usually they're older, as you indicated, but falls can happen to anybody and can be deadly to anybody. So good for you for taking steps. I should point out here also, because Gary has really led me to this, Wisconsin has a very, very excellent evidence-based falls prevention program called Stepping On. And I know we've talked about that in the past, Larry. Most counties in Wisconsin offer the program. It's kind of on a hiatus now because of COVID, but we're learning whether or not we can start to offer this program, this 7-week community-based workshop in falls prevention. We're learning whether or not we can offer it online. And it covers all the domains that we've been talking about: balance and strength, exercise, vision, medication review, home modification, safe footwear, how to walk out and about in the community, you know, getting up and down curbs and crossing streets carefully. And it's been proven to have a 31% reduction in falls. So I really urge your listeners to contact their aging and disability resource centers and say, you know, as soon as the sky's clear and you can offer Stepping On again, please put me on the list for that, because it's the CDC has endorsed this program because it's been so successful and because it covers all those domains. And we would love to see way more than the 15,000 people who've already taken the program join in too, so that they too can avoid falls.
And Carrie, thank you again for calling. Appreciate your call very much. You can join in too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. You mentioned home modifications. Ron emailed that through the company he works for, he does home modifications that help prevent falls, like grab bars and railings. He says there are grants available. The company's Independent Living, Inc., and they are in Madison.
Yeah, and a lot of places do that, so that's great. I know that sometimes in United Ways and in other places, they'll come over and do a home assessment. As I mentioned on our website, the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging, which is wihealthyaging.org. The second thing on the homepage, you see a big yellow thing, and I can't miss it, that says falls prevention. And you click there, and under the handouts, there's a 4-page home checklist for fall-proofing your home. And once you notice, go through there and say, well, yeah, I don't have grab bars, or that handrail is kind of rickety. And I love those rugs on the floor. I'm not giving them up, you know, but you're slipping and sliding on them, or where is the dog's bowl? Then that might give you, you know, motivation to call an agency like Ron's or the United Way or the Aging and Disability Resource Center to see what kind of resource they have. I know sometimes folks are reticent to do things like put a grab bar in the bathroom or somewhere. They feel that it makes them look old, as if that's a bad thing, for heaven's sake. But I can tell you, lying bloody in your bathtub will look a lot uglier. And it's important to get a quality person to install these items. You don't want a suction cup grab bar, because you grab that as you're slipping in the tub and it'll come right off the wall as you and the grab bar fall down. So you really want it installed in a permanent way so that it's safely there for you. Things like lighting and, tacking down rugs and all, and looking at where your cords are and how they can be that mishmash of things we all have by our computers and our phones and our lamps now, and how those can be gathered together now to reduce our risk of falls.
Let's take another call. Nancy in Milwaukee, we turn to you next. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning on this gloomy day.
Yeah.
My question is, I have been told I have advanced osteoporosis, and it occurred to me because a friend of mine had that same problem and broke a leg going downstairs, and his doctor told him the leg was not broken as a result of the fall down the stairs. It was the leg broke spontaneously because of the osteoporosis.
Oh.
And because I have the same problem, it occurred to me to ask you whether I really need to tell myself I cannot go up and down stairs at all anymore, because when you are doing that, all of your weight is on one leg at a time as you progress mm-hmm. down or up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a condition where I really have to tell myself it's time to sell my house and move to one level living?
Well, fortunately for you, I am not a doctor, and I am not going to tell you that you should move from your house. But I encourage you to have this conversation with your doctor and find out how much of this is progressive and degenerative and cannot be at all corrected or just stayed, or if there's different medications, or if you should change your calcium or your vitamin D, or if should you see a physical therapist about taking different strengthening exercises. I think it's also a question in your house. If you're living on the first floor and you sleep on the second floor, how many times a day are you going up and down? Or, is it a split level house that's happening all the time? If it's you're only going in the basement to do your laundry, can those be brought up? Can you hire someone to come in or get a family member to help you with those kinds of tasks? But talking to your physician is really important. A lot of, I think, of particularly older adults are afraid to talk to their doctor or even their family about their fear of falling or if they've had a fall, thinking, if I disclose that, they'll give me a one-way ticket to a nursing home and I'll never live alone, or they'll, push me out of my house or whatever. But, as you are doing, Nancy, to preemptively and prospectively for you to make the decisions, for you to gather information and you to make the decision about what's the best place for you to live safely is way better than having somebody else make the decision for you. So good for you for asking the question. I'm sorry about your advanced osteoporosis, but let's get you in to see a physician and a physical therapist and figure out what kind of alternatives there are for you. And maybe it is moving to a one-level place, and maybe that'll be good for you for a lot of reasons. But let's get all the information first.
Yeah, that's good information. Nancy, thank you very much for calling.
Good luck
to
you.
Yeah. Along with that, Mary in De Pere emailed, she's 58 years old, doesn't consider herself old. She was diagnosed with osteo about a year ago. Very active running, biking, and skiing, and she's fallen dozens of times multiple times, I should say, in the last year while biking and running. These have been fairly hard falls, yet she's never broken a bone. Was she just lucky, or should she be concerned that she's more at risk for a break from a fall?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, good for her for being so active, but I'm wondering if we need to get her into a physical activity that has a little less risk of falling, like maybe swimming or something. But she, too, should talk to her physician about that and to see if she's doing the right kinds of exercise. Myself, I'm a bicyclist, as I know you are, Larry.
And that's
a great exercise. But, you know, you don't build bone strength by sitting on the bike seat and riding around. So, you know, different kinds of balance and strength exercises. I'm also wondering in Nancy's case,
Mary's case.
I'm wondering in Mary's case if there's a balance issue, because that's a lot of falls in 1 year.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if there's a balance problem. Again, I'm not a doctor, so she should pursue that. But that many falls in a year would raise alarms to me that there's something more going on. And I highly encourage her to talk with her doctor and to, you know, think about, was I properly hydrated before I did that exercise, or was I woozy, or had I just taken some different medication? But that's not typical, and should look into some intervention.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt her to take that risk assessment too.
Absolutely. Right.
That risk assessment is, I think, worth for anybody. But we do have a link on our program notes on the Larry Mueller Show. WPR.org/Larry. Go to program notes and she can find that, or anybody can.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Sandra in Milwaukee next. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Larry. It's interesting that you have this program on, because this morning, I'm 78 years old. I'm quite healthy. I do have vision problems. And yesterday, for the first time ever, I just fell in my living room for no reason. I didn't trip. I didn't do anything, but I lost my balance. But my question is really one of, I had the opportunity to be in Vietnam a few years ago, and we were in the park in Hanoi, filled with these old ladies all doing Tai Chi.
Tai Chi, yeah.
And I know that in my Silver Sneakers program here, we have had occasionally balance classes. What do you think of exercise as a way of dealing with this issue?
Helping prevent falls, yeah.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to make sure you're okay after your fall yesterday. Have you, you're feeling okay today, and you're sure nothing got rattled or broken?
Well, there was a point of contact, which is bruised, but
that's
okay. I'm fine.
Okay, good.
I don't have anything bone disease or anything like that, so I'm lucky.
Okay.
I'm puzzled.
Right. I wonder if you were dehydrated, or, you know, wearing the wrong shoes or something. I have a friend who was wearing slippery socks on her wooden floor and went down and broke her wrist. So, you know, not a good idea to walk around in your stocking feet. So I'm glad you're okay. So, yes, not just any exercise, though. The exercises have to be proven for falls reduction. You know, people who go for brisk walks every day, that's fabulous for your heart. And it's probably good for your mental health, too. But it's not going to prevent falls. So we need to do the balance and strength exercises. And I deliberately put balance before strength, because that's what's critical to reducing falls. And we teach some balance and strength exercises in the Stepping On class. Balance exercises should be done every day. Strength exercises should be done 3 times a week. And these are not strength like with your arms. It's with your legs and your hip and your feet. You mentioned Tai Chi, and there are wonderful Tai Chi classes going on, and not just in Hanoi, but all over Asia. And actually, I live on the east side of Madison. I see Tai Chi classes going on all the time now, you know, since COVID in the summer and all the parks. You probably see them too, Larry.
Yeah.
And there's a new form of Tai Chi called Tai Chi Prime. And there's a Tai Chi Moving for Better Balance. Some of these are taught by YMCAs in Wisconsin. Some are being done online now. And the Tai Chi Prime class is also a kind of Tai Chi that has been specially researched and proven to reduce the risk of falls. So find out just which kind of Tai Chi, and when you pursue it, ask the question, what is this Tai Chi class proven to do? Is it one that's meditative and is calming? That's good. Is it one that adds to your agility and adds to arm strength? That's good. But if you're looking for one that is for falls prevention, then you want to do, you want to make sure you find exercise specifically that meets that criteria. I mentioned swimming earlier. Swimming is great, but to my knowledge, there's no swimming program that is evidence-based for falls prevention. So you want to make sure you get exercise for the goal that you're doing it for.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you again for calling. Mm-hmm. Pete in Pewaukee, your turn. Hi, Pete.
Thank you both for the program. Years ago, I read in a trail running magazine, a medical doctor wrote an article about the advantages for older people running on trails versus paved areas. And his main reason was that the proprioceptors in the bottom of the feet would take advantage of sensing more things on a trail run as compared to pavement running. Is there any scientific proof for that?
I'm sorry, Pete. I am neither a runner nor a knowledgeable about that. Honestly, it sounds kind of scary to me for me and our agency to send older adults or anyone off alone running on trails. I don't think I even have to go into all the reasons why that sounds scary. And I'm sure you're all thinking about whether it's about, safety or just being left alone out there and all the roots and whatever that you could stumble on. So I haven't heard of that. Like I said, there's a lot of Tai Chi programs where you also get the group socialization of it and stepping on. Or, I would talk to a physical therapist, an individual physical therapist, if you aren't into group classes or because of COVID, you couldn't go to them right now anyway, I would encourage listeners to meet with a physical therapist, say, here's, my concerns. I haven't fallen or I have, but I don't want to again or ever. Can you give me some exercises that have been proven to reduce falls? And I will be surprised if they recommend trail running, but, maybe for somebody who's already a runner, but you didn't hear that from me.
Megan in Menasha just wanted to have us address Benadryl, which is put in many over-the-counter meds. As a retired nurse, she's had many patients whose loving families would buy this for mom or dad to help them sleep, but it contributes to urinary retention, confusion, and falls. Mm-hmm. And wanted to just make that point.
Well, thank you, Megan from Menasha. That's another example of something to talk about with a pharmacist. We highly discourage sleeping pills or any kinds of sleep medications unless there's an excellent reason. You talk it over with your doctor, not your daughter. But as you mentioned, Benadryl leads to urinary retention, which can cause a whole lot of other problems, or the rushing to the bathroom, which can cause falls, having to, when you do have to get up in the middle of the night and you're all mixed up about it and bad lighting. Oh, that's quite dangerous. And I if Helene were back on the call, I'm sure she would discourage using Benadryl for that without a doctor's recommendation about it. So I'm with Megan. I wouldn't do that absent a very good reason, because you really are increasing your risk of falls when you take sleep medication. Of course, the worst sleep, and it's not medication, but people who have some alcohol before they go to bed to help them sleep are also increasing their risk of falls. So also something we would not recommend.
Well, Betsy, it's always a pleasure. I hope you can come back and be with us again. Really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And good luck to all of your listeners. Stay vertical, stay safe. And we hope the resources we've given you will help you avoid a risk of falls. Thank you.
Betsy Abramson is the executive director of the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging. Their website is wihealthyaging.org. Great to have her with us, and great to have our next guest with us today as well. There's some data that's showing more Americans are sick than are healthy. And Beth Olson back to talk with us about that. Next on the Ideas Network, I'm Larry Mueller.